Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Today's March 9th. The Pirates are halfway through spring training. Today's as good of a time as any to check on the roster. Talking some numbers tonight, so let's go. You're listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Yinz guys, thank you for listening to the Bridge to Bucktober podcast, where we talk all about them Pittsburgh Pirates and that. My name is Josh, and I'm joined, as always, by my brother Jake. Every once in a while, we got to throw that out there.
Yeah. To date ourselves for no reason.
Right. That's a good point. According to the source, Gerrit Cole, Tommy John. It's spring training, Jake. Sometimes this kind of stuff comes out with spring training.
Yeah, I don't obviously never root for anybody to get injured.
Right.
But I don't feel bad for the Yankees.
Oh.
Feel bad for Garrett.
Okay.
Feel bad for Gerrit Cole.
All right,
I got you. Feel bad for the Yankees.
Okay. I see where you're going with that. All right. Hey, we're at the halfway point. We got some things to talk about. Andrew McCutchen says that O'Neill Cruz has no ceiling. None.
Andy says that Paul Skeens is going to tell his kids that he got to play with Andrew McCutchen.
Oh, yeah, okay. MLB Network, for those who don't know. That was pretty funny. Yeah. We're going to talk stats. We're going to throw some numbers out there. We're going to talk about the halfway point of spring training and what it means. Jake's got a root beer. What do you got?
Americana. I've had this before on the show, so delicious vintage. Sure.
I'm slacking right now, man. I mean, not that Fruit Punch isn't awesome, but
yeah,
it's not a root beer. You know what I mean?
It's fine. You know, until we get that sponsorship from 1919.
Well, know, yeah.
It's hit and miss. We may or may not have root beer.
Oddly enough, I do have still an unopened keg of 1919 root beer in the fridge.
Yeah, but you can't just pop open a keg and drink it on the show.
You can't. Well, yeah, you can't drink it twice. You know what I mean? It's going to go. Is it going to be me? Am I going to drink a whole pony keg?
No.
Or am I going to wait till I have something to open it up for? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm with you. But yeah, we're going to look at some stats. We've got a couple things to talk about, a couple players. Dave White likes IBC root beer.
IBC is solid.
My favorite was Henry Weinert's. They stopped making it thanks to COVID. So we can all thank COVID for all the wonderful things that it's done for our lives, including getting rid of Henry Weinert's root beer and making everything that I smell rancid. Cool. anyway, lots of good things to talk about.
Anything.
Pitching, hitting, we're going to go over the whole gamut tonight, right? We got to make sure we have time to fit it all in because, you know, there's a fair amount to talk about. Maybe, you know, not a ton. But if this is a root beer brand, Pitt City What throws Clover Valley in there. We're just going to keep like getting distracted, and that's totally fine. But if that's
Clover Valley is the DG brand.
It's the DG
Dollar
brand.
General.
Okay. I was like, I've never heard of it, but all right. Let's start with the Cutch and Cruz stuff. Right? Let's get that stuff. Because then when we dig deep, we want to make sure that we have time to talk about this. Are you buying the stuff that he's saying, or are you going to chalk this under spring training, like vibes are good, and here's what I'm going for. Or are you buying what he says? Or is there something like when you want to talk about, we're saying he has no ceiling, but how was the quote really? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I think.
Did you hear the whole quote? Did you read the article?
I didn't hear the whole quote. I didn't see it. No, but
all right.
I mean, it's still, it's Andrew McCutchen, known to be a jokester. So I get that part of it, but I don't think he's joking here. And I don't know that Andrew McCutchen thinks that he'll reach that no ceiling. You know what I mean? Like the ceiling's the limit or whatever. He has no ceiling. I don't know if he'll ever get to that point, but he has all the potential to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that wholeheartedly. Like, he has the potential. Again, it's all potential to be almost as a Acuna 40-70 guy.
Yeah. So here's the full quote, at least what it was that Alex Stumpf wrote on the article. When he was asked about the ceiling, there is none. He doesn't have one yet. You've got Shohei Ohtani. He's in his own threshold, being a pitcher and a position player. He does things that people go, I've never seen that done. Cruz does the same stuff you've never seen. He's working on an open space. He has no ceiling. He's building the foundation. Time will come when he knows what that is, and then the ceiling will start. As of now, endless possibilities. I hope that's how he views it. And then he also throws in there, I want him to hit 100 home runs. I feel like he can do it. Which is, that's where you get Kutch's humor going in there saying,
yeah,
okay, he's, you know, I'm going to throw a number out there that sounds ridiculous, but basically what I'm doing is I'm not putting a cap on it. You know right. what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's Kutch's way. But I think the no ceiling stuff, when you hear the whole quote, it's a little more like, we just don't know what that is yet.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit interesting because he's he's older to be taught. Like, you know what I mean? Even like a lot of Ellie comparisons, and Ellie's 3 years younger, 2-3 years younger. You know what I mean? So it's a little bit different where it's like, okay, but Ellie didn't get injured. So Ellie's actually ahead of O'Neill when it comes to, I think, even plate appearances in the show. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, all of a sudden, our Cruz, is kind of still the younger guy there. And I don't know, kind of interesting there. Miles says, can't find the ceiling until you figure out the wall.
Dude, that's going to be the hardest thing for him to figure out in center field. Like,
yeah. Well, the Braves, it was the Braves announcers were giving him absolutely no favors, right? And they misquoted him a few times. And they misunderstood what the quotes were. They were saying that, you know, how Cruz was just embracing it and saying, I'm a center fielder now. Well, okay, but that just means he was finally buying in. Not that he's good, that he's got it figured out. And I think they kind of thought that, you know, they seemed to make it sound like he thought that he had it figured out. And that's not the case. He's got a lot. What we saw on Saturday was very good for O'Neill Cruz. Because those types, you can teach all day long, but until you experience those situations, now you've got video. Now they can take him in the room and say, look, you followed this ball all the way to the wall, and then it hit off the wall, and it's behind you now. You can't do that. If you're not going to get to it, you have to pull up sooner. You have to play it off the wall, all those things. There's a lot of things there that were very good for O'Neill Cruz to experience, because you will learn way more through experience, right?
Yeah, 100%. Baseball is a game of failure, and until you fail, you can't learn.
Right.
So, you know, plays like that, there's so much to learn from it.
And they made this point too, but as an outfielder, we all make this point, right? When outfielders are told that outfield's easier than infield, right? We always say, oh, cool, shortstop. How about a wall?
Yeah.
How, you know what I mean? Like, there are things here too. And I'm not saying it's harder. I'm just saying, like, we have things too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's exactly what he's dealing with right now. And the second one after the wall thing, maybe a couple up towards the wall. But the other thing was when he fielded the ball and he was going to throw home and the runner stopped. Ozuna stopped around third. O'Neal held the ball. And that's one of those things where I know you made a comment on this earlier about his throw decisions.
Yep.
He was all about throwing that guy out at home. And as soon as he stopped his arm motion and he stopped the throw. And then he was like, well, if I throw it home, he's going to get second. No, you're not supposed to throw home. You're supposed to throw to the cutoff
man. Cutoff.
If the cutoff man's lined up, he's going to just throw low enough that he can cut that off and nobody's running.
Yep.
You're not supposed to throw anywhere but the cutoff man. So it's if your decision like a pet
peeve, man.
Yeah, if your decision is to field the ball and throw to the cutoff man, and then the cutoff man can decide whether to let it go or whether to cut it. And you don't have to think about that. All you have to do is get rid of the ball. Those types of decisions he just hasn't had to make a lot. He's going to continue to have to make those, and that's what's going to make him better. Pit City What says, this is what we call a learning opportunity. And that's all it really, and that's what all of this is. And so when we say, Dave White, I'm not going to call you out here, but don't think Cruz will stick in center field. We just don't know yet. And I will say to the end of that, he will not go back to short. Right field, yes. I believe he finds his way to right field. Yeah, see, look, Dave even saying the same thing. I'm not trying to be negative. You're just not sold on the defense, and that is fine. I don't think anybody should be yet, but that doesn't mean it won't come. And that's the thing. That's the only point I wanted to make there is it doesn't mean it won't come. But shortstop's not going to happen. It's gone. I think a lot of us knew that no matter what, this guy's going to be in right field, right? He's still young and fast enough that center field was going to work right now, but eventually this guy's going to right field anyway. But until you need that to happen, let him learn center, and then later he can learn right, and it'll be fine. You know what I mean? It may be with the Pirates. It might not be. He might just be a center fielder here. But I think it's going to be a good move. You got to. I always want to point to Fernando Tatis.
Yeah.
Once he figured it out, he won a gold glove. So, and it was the same sort of thing. Ton of errors at shortstop. I mean, Ellie's on his way there too. If he doesn't clean it up in the infield, he's on his way out there too. You can't lead the league in errors every year and play short. It's just not a great thing. So, yes, this is a great call out. Miles said, the game Saturday, this is the one we're talking about. Was anyone else holding their breath at the ball in the air that Jack ran down? Cruz went in front of Jack on this, and Jack caught the ball, which is, again, what if Jack misses the ball? You're halfway to left field by now. You can't do that either. You have to figure it out. But I thought the same thing. I think I may have audibly yelled, don't run into him. And I thought that they were, I mean, mostly Jack, right? Mostly Jack is going to be gone.
I don't know. Jack's thick.
I
think they both would be gone.
Yeah, it's probably they're totally different levels. They're gonna have different types of injuries, right?
Yeah, that's an NBA player hitting a linebacker.
Yeah, I mean it's wild. But yes, I absolutely thought the same thing. So yeah. The verdict is still out. Let's let it play out. Maybe for about half the season, right? Like let's get to the All-Star break and then let's see how he does in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
And then just kind of reevaluate from there. Not that they're going to make any other choice. They're not. He's going to be there. They're not moving him to right field. Reynolds is in right field. They won't move that again. They've already made decisions. He'll be a center fielder. And hopefully his bat keeps him in the lineup no matter what else happens.
Yeah, the only way they move him out of center field is if it just goes horrendous.
Right.
If he's costing us games and costing us a lot of runs, I could see them making some sort of move. I couldn't even predict what that move would be.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't. Yeah. So there's a lot here. Bucko Mike says, fundamental error by Cruz. He's aggressive going for the ball in center field, just needs to learn to call the ball. He's going to have to be very vocal because he's that dude is a career ender in a collision. You know what I mean? So yes.
Yeah.
And this is one of the hardest things in the outfield. You know what I mean? Certainly
on the
not
infield. on the infield on a fly ball, you're going until you hear the outfielder call it. Yeah. You don't necessarily, I mean, you call some balls. I'm not saying you don't call the ball, but a fly ball to like the outfield and you're running back for it, you just go for it until you hear otherwise.
Yeah.
And hope they get you out of their way.
Call what you want, but if you hear an outfielder call it, you get the heck out of the way.
Exactly.
It's the outfielder's ball.
Just go ahead and start screaming.
O'Neill Cruz has to learn that if he calls off the catcher needs to move. The center fielder has priority over everybody on that diamond.
Yep.
If he calls it, the catcher moves out of the way. You know what I mean? In the infield, that's a shortstop, and so on.
Yep.
But the idea is it's the center fielder's ball, and he's got to be vocal about that, which is our rub on Jack out there, too.
Yeah.
He'll just pull up and let the infielder give it a shot. You can't do that.
No, just start yelling.
Yep. But make sure you call it, because I broke a kid's leg over my hip one time, and it's not fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Batting practice, which is why, I mean, we called it, but I just didn't keep calling it. He called it, but he didn't hear me call it. And it's you know, very young, right? Sophomore in high school. I saw him last minute, rolled. Worst feeling. But that's why you call the ball. Hopefully we don't get to that point where O'Neill Cruz knocks somebody's head off with his elbow. Nobody wants to see that.
No.
Give him some time. He has no ceiling. Right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. I just want to point one thing out here because I loved it. One of my favorite things about spring training. Mike Burrows started a game. They pulled him in the first inning. He goes right back out for the second inning. Doesn't even finish the first inning, goes back out there for the second inning. I think it's like just so much fun when I watch something like that. It's like we get locked into these games, right? We want them to win. But like when you see something like that, it's just a quick reminder that these games don't matter.
Yeah.
They mean nothing. They don't count.
It's literally like your scrimmages in high school baseball. Like
it's so no funny. Rules. He's like, oh, he'll come back
rules,
out.
But very loose rules.
Yeah. Just give him a clean inning, let him throw more. I absolutely love it. It's fun. We got a chance to get a look at Justin Lawrence today, the new reliever. I mean, get a look. It's not on TV. Right. We were again the visitors to another poor franchise that can't afford to show their games on live TV. So we had no way to show the game. So claps for the Detroit bums who don't have any money. I'm kidding, obviously. Heavy on the sarcasm here. But I mean, clean inning. He struck out a 20-year-old, got a couple ground balls. But he throws, there was a, what, 95 to 97 mile an hour sinkers, 3 sweepers in there sitting in the mid 80s, 12 pitches, 8 strikes. Good enough for, you know, hey, we got to see him throw or follow along with him throw and listen to him throw. So there's that. Andrew Heaney, that's a big one here. Let's get in. This is the last thing we're going to like quick hit here before we dive into all the numbers. But Andrew Heaney gave up 4 runs again, second start. And, you know, are we, it's too early, right? Well, what do you got on this? Are you going through the motions here? Go ahead, break it down.
So kind of, I mean, a little bit going through the motions because I don't know if you saw his interview on his start.
I didn't.
He said, I wish I could sit here and talk to you about a good outing, but that's just not how my springs go. He said, I'm just not good in the spring.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I never have been. And then you look up his stats. He said, if you can look up my stats, I don't know what they are, but they're probably not good. So we looked him up. Career 6.30 ERA in spring training.
Mm-hmm.
Best year he had was in 2022 with the Dodgers, where he pitched 5.1 innings to a... Wait, what? 16.88 ERA.
Yeah, exactly. So his... So, well, that was like, his worst spring, right? His worst spring, but his best regular season.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah, so...
5 1/3 innings, though. You know what I mean? And he didn't play half the season, really. And it ended up being his best season, so...
Yeah. So, like, you know, and he knows it.
Yeah.
Obviously. Or he wouldn't be sitting there talking about it. He's like, I'd love to be chatting with you guys about a good outing and how good I feel and everything. And he said, I don't usually get results in the spring.
Yeah.
So am I worried about it? No. Do I still think he's going to be our depending on what you want to do with the righties and lefties. So I think he's going to be the four, probably. Maybe five. I don't, somebody put it up earlier.
Yeah, I shared it too. This one here.
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe because he was signed late, he goes to five.
Right.
I'd be okay with that. I don't care. I don't think it's going to be because of his bad performance.
Right.
If anything, it's just because he was a late addition and he's just ramping back up.
57 pitches today. So, like, as far as
pitch count goes
right. And everything, like, he's kind of sitting there. He's doing all right. But yeah, I mean, obviously, it sounds like mostly a feel guy not feeling it yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Pitt City, what? Burrows did go back in, absolutely, the other day. And Miles says he came back with arm side command under control. It was a really bad first inning. And this is why they do it, right? Hit the reset button. Let's let somebody else get you out of this. Even though, I mean, it's just a runner on second, right? But it was like, yeah. Let's let somebody else. You need to come in here. You need to look at what you're doing. You hit the reset button, come back out. Andrew Heaney is to stay on Andrew Heaney. He's going to build up the pitch count. He's going to build up those. I mean, the innings come with, I see Bucko Mike out here saying he needs to go at least three or four innings and all this stuff. And that's all fine. But like the pitch count dictates that.
Yeah.
If you get your pitch count up, if you get outs, you'll go more innings. If you're efficient, you'll go more innings. It's pitch count first and foremost.
Which is the whole reason why Skeens has come out and said he's trying to be more aggressive in the zone so that he can get hitters out quicker so that he can go eight innings.
Yeah,
that's the whole point.
Exactly. Heaney's just not efficient right now. And if it is a feel thing, he just isn't feeling it yet. Right? And so we'll, you know.
I mean, I'm sure you can look this up about a lot of other guys that do the same thing. And it's probably, they're just like, it's spring. And they're just not competing as, like, I don't want to say they're not competing as hard, like they're not taking it as seriously, but they are just going through their spring and just getting their work in.
Yeah.
And they're just, there's not a lot of adrenaline. It's spring.
Right. And
I'm going to throw my pitches. I'm going to work on my stuff. I'm going to work on it. I just don't care what happens. Like, it doesn't matter at the end of the day. They're my results.
Yeah, I think it is.
As a young guy, you can't do that.
Right. I think it is more. I think the adrenaline there. I think the effort is there. I think they don't care what happens.
Mm-hmm.
If they throw a good pitch and a guy hits it, I just don't care. But I want to throw more good pitches. And eventually, you do want to see some outs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, right now, I don't know if it's not. Yeah, I don't know if it's, and I don't think that you mean that, but the way you said it kind of comes off like, oh, I'm just going through the motions. My level of effort isn't there. That's what I don't think. You know what I mean? I think the level of effort's there. They're trying to get ready. They want everything. But like, if you're working on a pitch, for some guys, if you're working on a pitch that's not a good pitch, all you're basically doing is, if I get a feel for it, sure, I can add it. If I don't, I'm not going to throw it. You've seen a lot of guys work on a pitch and then never even take it into the regular season. And so for Heaney, I think it's just a late start, right? Too early to really be concerned. If it continues, we'll include these two outings in why we're concerned. But if he figures it out, we'll erase these two and we'll not worry about him, right?
Yeah.
Bucko Mike says Carmen Majinski is his piggyback. That's actually like very possible.
Sure.
So I mean, someone like Majinski or Caleb Ferguson, who I'm sure we'll talk about as we go through this, those guys are about there. So, all right, let's do something that I have a lot of fun with. And it's time for me to get a little bit nerdy on statistics and things like that. Spring training, fun in that way, because some of this stuff you can't trust, right? Opposition quality is a stat we talked about last year on here. I wrote a piece on Steel City Pirates last year about this, but opposition quality is a stat that Baseball Reference uses to basically show who you're going up against in spring training and how you can kind of calculate your results based on that, right? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the reasons that you would do that is because you would look at, you know, some certain guys, and we talked about this a little bit on Thursday with Matt Gorski, and we'll bring him up. But there are some guys who are like, wow, they're really killing the ball this spring. And it's like, okay, but here's who they're going up against. And so we'll talk about some of that stuff. Essentially, it's a 1 through 10 scale. 10 is a major leaguer, and they base your opposition quality number off of where you were in last year. So 2024 season, if you spent the whole year in the major leagues, you're a 10. If it doesn't matter how good you were, this is like based on the level you were at. If you spent the whole year in AAA, you're an 8, a 7 in AA, a 5 in high A, a 4 in low A, and then there's some sprinkles. So if you split time, you could be a 6, you could be a 9, you know what I mean? It depends on how you spent your season last year to know, okay, this guy is, you know, for example, Jared Bayless, a right-handed reliever that the Pirates have sent out there to face one batter. It was a major league batter. His op qual is 10. He's faced one batter. So that's it, right? All right. So basically we're going to go down through some of these guys, talk about how they're doing. I guess I should start with a condition here. Some guys played baseball today. Baseball Reference won't update those numbers until sometime between now and in the morning. I guess I could refresh the page and find out, but nah, it's not going to be updated. Imagine it could be though. I'm going to refresh, but that means I have to sort everything. It is not updated. Okay. So anyway, what's JC Flowers? Bucko Mike says, all right, we'll go straight to JC Flowers. Let me sort this here. JC Flowers is a 6.8. That's his opposition quality, right? So he's had 1.1, four appearances, one out each appearance. He's gotten four outs, given up two hits. He's faced seven batters, but he hasn't given up a run yet. But 6.8 is the opposition quality for JC Flowers. So somewhere between high A and double A level players he's been up against. Okay. So, you know, obviously the reason you look at this is if a guy's doing really good, you might be able to explain that away a little bit. If he's doing really bad, I kind of don't care. Because he's doing bad. So no matter what level you're at, like, what do you want from me? Right. But here's the condition. So I did go in and try to update some of these for the guys that played today. And so, you know, we'll go from there. I'm going to tell you this, like, not very many people, Billy's asked, we will get to Eddie Yean. So, keep putting guys like this, like these guys are doing, keep throwing them in there and we'll cross them when we come. But if there's somebody that we're not talking about, if we see him in the chat, we'll make sure to bring them up. Okay. So keep throwing names out there that you guys either have liked or have not liked and ask us, just to make sure that we touch on those players. And then we'll touch on them when we get there. But let me go through this little condition here. This is not an end all be all. It could be a 10 and it could be a guy who's working on a changeup that he's never thrown before. And you got a first pitch home run off of him. And it really doesn't tell the whole story, right? So I don't want to just say, well, I mean, truly results don't matter in spring. Truly they don't. But this does give us a little bit, hitters especially, because they're trying. Like, they're trying to get hits. But there's a lot of ways that you can go through and say, like, you know, like I said, I don't want to contradict myself, but pitchers aren't putting their best foot forward. We just talked about that. Results are what they are. We compare this stuff. Just keep that in mind in the back of your head while we're going through this, that all of these things are just finding a way, right? So let me ask you, Jake, bad is bad for hitters. Good is good for pitchers. Is that kind of how you feel about spring training, where you say, like, if you're bad, I don't care who you're up against, you're not getting it done. And then for pitchers, if you're doing well, it doesn't matter if you're working on something or whatever. If you're doing well, you're doing well. Or is there some conditions there? How do you feel about it?
There's definitely conditions. Bad is bad for hitters. Yes. I think bad is bad for most players, pitching and hitting alike. The only time you can really throw out bad is if that person is actually, you know, for a fact, he's working on something and throwing it over and over again and it's not working. So then it's like, well, bad is bad, but at the same time, it's, we're going to cut that.
Well, we just talked about Andrew Heaney, right? And you said bad's not bad in that case.
So it's just more conditions, right? He just,
right.
He doesn't pitch what he doesn't get results well in spring.
Yeah. What about it if you're getting outs? Do you like that?
Well, yeah, you like that, but that also is very conditional based on that. That actually is a level thing. Sure, you're getting these double A hitters out, yeah, but can you get major league hitters out?
Right. And then what about the contact off of it? These are the kind of things you're not going to get qualified, right? I mean, we've talked about Jack Swinski's looked great. His numbers look great. We'll get to them. They do look great, but he's looked even better than the numbers because even his outs are loud.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so things like that, like there are definitely conditions to go either way. I would typically say if you're having success, you're having success and you love it. But then we think of the Kevin Newman season where he hits, mm-hmm, you know, 600-700. And then we're like, okay, good is good. Maybe not. Right. But that's, we say bad is bad if you're not getting hits off anybody. But what if you're hitting lasers? What if your average exit velo is 92? If we're average, like you're feeling all right about that, you know what I mean? In the spring. So yeah. So it's not always black and white.
Right.
So I take a little liberty here to create some new op quals. If anybody's looking at Baseball Reference to check our numbers, the guys who played on Sunday, I went through and I looked and I said, okay, this is where I think this guy will land. Some of them were pretty easy. But let's break it down position by position. Does anybody have anything out there on catchers? We can start with them. It doesn't look like there's a catcher named yet. So let's start with Joey Bart. He played today, went 3-for-4, 8th RBI the spring. His splits right now, Jake, 444, 500, 778. That's a 1.278 OPS. And his game today, 3-for-4, single off Scooble, single off Scooble, single off Will Vest, and a fly out to John Brebbia. All of those guys were full-time major leaguers last year. So his op qual on Baseball Reference right now, his opposition quality, I'm going to shorten that to op qual. That's how they do it in the table. His op qual went from 7.5 to like a 7.9 or an 8. I don't know how they do the rounding, but it's 7.9 with some decimals that may round up to 8, or they might just leave it. I don't know how they do that. But so that's actually pretty good. Like that's, he's facing better. I mean, you see it today, you know, 2-for-2 off Scooble. So, you know, you like to see that anytime. I'm sorry. Yes. 2-for-2 off Scooble.
Yeah.
You like that.
Yeah. You have to like it. I just want to see it in the regular season.
He's going to throw that condition out there too. Mm-hmm. But if you're all things considered, right,
you base things off
of what they're doing right now. And that's what it is. So Andy Rodriguez, 1-for-2 with a walk today. He walked against Scooble, singled off Scooble, and then grounded out to second off Scooble. We're talking about Tarik Scooble, the Cy Young winner, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
good stuff from the two catchers right there that played today. 389, 467, 641 for Andy right now. 1.111 OPS so far. And he took his op qual from a 7.8. His has been bouncing around 8 all spring. It was at 8.2. It was at 8. It was at 7.8. Now it's going to go back up to 8.1 because of the quality of guys that he's facing. Andy Rodriguez is doing damage, and he's doing it against major leaguers for the most part. Mm-hmm. And that is a really good sign. When you look at Henry Davis, he's at a 7.0 right now. 278, 350, 556. That's still really good. I mean, he's still got a 906 OPS, right? He's still doing pretty good there. Obviously, you're going to have to rely a little heavily on, him and Andy both have a homer. Andy's might have been a little wind-aided. You know what I'm saying? We remember that.
Yeah.
And so Henry's got maybe a little bit of a leg up when you look at something like that. He's also got a couple more doubles. But we're actually looking at a pretty good positional battle at catcher. What we expected to see a few years ago that we haven't seen. And we finally have some guys, you know, doing pretty well. They've all spent, you know, a fair amount of time. I mean, they're all right around that 20 to 22 plate appearances. And so we're all right there. Jason DeLay, 6.6, obviously has gotten in a little bit later. That's a lower op qual. He's only hitting 167 with a 397 OPS. So I think Jason DeLay, in a way right now, is kind of playing his way out of it. One of these guys is going to make it, either Davis or Andy. And it's going to be fun to see because they're going to get some more important at-bats. And we're going to have to rely on the Pirates to basically say, is Henry hitting the fastball? Is he doing all the things? How's his outs looking? Things like that, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, he had a, what day was that that I was actually able to watch? It was a Friday's game was on. And Davis was up to bat and this dude pitching, I don't remember his name, but he was just pumping 97 consistently. So I was like, okay, so this is a perfect at bat to see Henry against the fastball.
Yeah.
Dude blows 97. I think he swung through the first one. Then he dropped in like four straight sliders. I'm like, dude, come on. You were pumping 97 to everybody so far. And I was excited to see the, well, then he did get a fastball. He did hit it on the barrel, just missed underneath.
Yeah.
It was still 105 off the bat.
Just too high.
Launch angle was too high.
So, like in the 40,
just missed underneath.
Like 40 degree launch angle flew out the center.
Which those are the ones that you still feel good about that. You were on it. You barreled it. I mean, he hit it to center field, so he was on time. Just a fraction, you know what I mean?
Oh, he was on
under. So,
yeah.
Yeah, you just like to see that kind of stuff.
Sure. Where do you want to go next, Jake? You want to go down to like first base since that's a big deal right now. I mean, I want to make sure that we get through stuff. They do this by first base and DH together. So you're throwing Kutch in the middle of this too. But Andrew McCutchen, 7.4, highest opponent quality, opposition quality for this. But a 1.0 OPS right now so far in the spring. He's looking good. I think, you know, his first few, he is definitely a go through the motions guy right now. It's all about seeing pitches. That's literally it. Like he's got 7 walks. It's all about seeing pitches. If he can see pitches and get the timing, that's all he needs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's on record saying what he needed. He's 10 at bats,
10 plate appearances. He's got 17 so far. 17. So, DJ Stewart's another one. I know this is a big one that everybody's interested in. It's slowed down a little bit, but he's still got a 1.098. He's hitting 364, 462 on base. And he's got the homer. He's got 3 doubles. That's all good. Opposition quality right now is 7.3. So he's essentially facing double, triple A hitters on average, right? So he's, like I said, we'll get into some like questions on like, yeah, well, what's he doing against the top end? I've got some comments on that later. Spoiler alert. I don't know. Derek Hall is a really interesting one because this is a guy who actually has a chance to make some noise. And a couple of us have said a couple times, like it could be, right? It could be this guy. 6.9. We're talking double A pitchers out there, and he's hitting 143, 250 on base. You know what I mean? Like right now, Derek Hall, not getting it done.
Right.
I think we can close the door on that. Matt Gorski, might as well throw him into it at this point. I told you last episode, we're writing it off. His opposition quality is still 6.5. I wrote him down in the outfielders area, so I'm going to scroll down. He did play today. He struck out to Chase Lee, which was a AAA player last year. So he's going to go from, well, it says 6.6. Oh, he to around a 6.6 from a 6.5. So it actually went up a little bit. Guy who has never made his debut yet, I don't think. And so the updated numbers are 353, 368 with a 1.368 OPS. He struck out 7 times, though, and he's walked once. The complete opposite of Andrew McCutchen, who's walked 7 times and struck out once. On Friday, he doubled to center field on basically a routine flyout that the guy lost in the sun.
Yeah.
It about hit him. So you add another double to his numbers to give him 2, and it was essentially just a routine flyout.
Yeah, more. What I text you, the only good thing you can say is he actually ran.
Yeah. More on Matt Gorski later in that number 2 when we have our discussion at the end. Because, like I said, we're closing the door until he can open it back up. Because that's where we're at right now. I'm still looking to see, like, is there any infielders? Or I see the pitchers. We're going to get to pitching after this. So just so we can kind of keep it the same. When I look through, I'm seeing, like, Nick Gonzalez. Not having a lot of success right now. So it doesn't matter, right? But he's at a 7.0. Like, it's not been great for him. How's his outs? He's hit the ball hard a few times.
Mm-hmm.
He's not striking out a ton, right? He's got 4 strikeouts and 21 plate appearances. It's not a ton. He has walked a couple times. And so Nick Gonzalez definitely has some work to do, especially when you're coming into a spring where you got guys that are like, I can take this from you.
Yeah.
Right? Billy Tissue asked for York and Valdez. So great time to talk about those because both those guys can play second base. And quite frankly, Emmanuel Valdez has the highest op qual of the infielders at 7.7. And he's got a 1.012 OPS right now, hitting 267, 478 on base. He's walked 7 times as well. He hit one over the boardwalk when I was watching him at BP one day. And I mean, this is a guy who has played in the majors a little bit. He's played third. He's played second. He's played a game at first. Everybody gets a chance at DH in spring training, but like, I don't know, man. I think he's got to do a lot more than this to get that shot. He is on the 40 man. He is on the 40 man. So he's not non-roster, but we're still talking about 7.7, right? We're still talking about spring training. It's the highest of the group, but
I feel like 7.7 is about normal.
Yeah, it is. Anything in the sevens, really. I mean, like 7.5 to 8 is like, that's where most people are going to be.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's not that I'm saying, but he's the highest of that group. But like I said, that's not enough. Like, 478 on base with a 1.0 OPS is good, but I mean, it's a double and a homer, right? We're talking about 23 plate appearances, and it's one of those things. He's out of options. I don't know if he is out of options. Let me check on that. Check Ethan's document here. Ethan Houlihan, go check it out. I know, listen, and I'm just done checking everywhere else. I want to check his document because that's what you want to see. And Manuel Valdez does have an option left, so he's not out of options. So he can be optioned and still stick around here, and I mean, maybe I got to watch if this continues to go. However, Nick York at a 7.5 has a 346 on base. He has struck out 7 times this spring, but he's walked 5 times. It's not all good, though. Like, you know what I mean? A couple doubles, not all good. There's some loud contact there, but Nick York's not beating down the wall much. He's hitting 200 right now. He's basically a hit different than Nick Gonzalez, probably, when you're talking about a small sample like this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
IKF, 7.1. Jared Trillo, 7.2. They're all in that same kind of pocket there. But those guys, in the 600s in the OPS too. Once again, first half of spring training, this is what happens. And so there's just things that, like, what you can do in the first half of spring training to me is you can make me pay attention.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're a guy that's either has a job or is going for a job, you know what I mean? Whatever it is, like Nick Gonzalez, I'm paying attention now.
Yeah.
Jared Triolo, even, I'm paying attention. I got to see something. Like, Jared Triolo doesn't have an RBI yet. You know what I mean? And
right.
What's an RBI, right? I mean, if he doesn't get up with guys on, I get it. But you're just looking at all the things, right? Leover Peguero, 6.8. This is a big one. Jake, he spent the whole year in AAA last year, which means he's an 8.
Yeah.
And he's facing guys that are, an average of 6.8. An average. He's facing tough guys, facing, you know what I mean? It's an average. Mm-hmm. He's hitting 100. He's got one hit. And it was a homer.
What kills him, too, is he's got a 100 on base because he doesn't walk.
Well, right. Yeah, you're right. He doesn't walk. So he's just 100, 100.
Yeah.
And he hit one home run, so he's got a 500 OPS. Yeah, so, I mean, and the defense hasn't been good. He did make one good play to end the game the other day, but it's been in a mix of bad plays, not getting to balls, things like that. So, I don't know. That's the thing.
The interesting one for me is Chang. I mean, he's sitting at a 6.5, so a little less than even Peguero, but bro's bad 400. Now, he doesn't walk a lot either. He's only got the one walk and 3 strikeouts. So he's sitting at a 412 on base.
He did walk today. So that's another walk. He only had one plate appearance. I didn't calculate it yet, but he's going to be above a 6.5 because he walked to a guy who is higher than that, I think.
Okay.
I think if I remember looking it up. So he's below a 7 is essentially it, but I think he's a little bit, maybe 6.5 between there somewhere.
But he's getting your take. He's playing good defense too. He made that, but did you see that play up the middle he made the other day?
Yeah, and he's going to play defense. Yeah, 400, 412, which the 412 is going to change, right? I didn't calculate right. him. But a 412 is going to change because the on base is going to go up a little bit, but he's got a 1.0 OPS. That's always a good thing. Yeah, so definitely there. Emmanuel Valdez after today's game, by the way, because I know I threw some of those numbers out. But after today's game, that 1.0 actually went down to a 933, and he's hitting 235 now because he went 0-for-2 today. Nick Gonzalez, I threw a number out there. He's a 182 right now with a 507 OPS, right? Derek Hall, 125. I know I named Derek Hall. It 125 we're at. And Peguero not at 100. He's at 0.083 after today's game because he didn't get a hit. Frazier, 182. Billy Cook, 071, which is really discouraging because Billy Cook on the field has been very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And at the plate, very much not exciting.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure why I have him on my notes. I have him listed under infield. I think because I was thinking of maybe first base. Or no. Maybe he's listed under that or something. I don't know where he's at.
He's
outfield.
The outfielders. Yep.
Yeah. So that 091 dropped to an 071, unfortunately. So, yeah, I mean, you think about some of these guys. Let's keep moving on. Let's go to some outfielders here. G1 Bay after today's game. 500, 529, 750. That's a 1.279. So the numbers are a little bit different than the inflated ones you see there. He went 0-for-2 or 0-for-3 today, 0-for-3 today. And my calculations have him around a 7.4 instead of a 7.0 because he faced two major leaguers and a double-A pitcher. Lowering his average down to 500. I will say this on G1 Bay. He was 3-for-3 on the 4th of March against Boston. He had a single and a homer off Quinn Priester, so we know him. And he had a single off Luis Guerrero, who debuted in 24 for 10 innings, most of the time in AAA. And then on Friday, he was 2-for-2 against Philadelphia. He hit a single off Christopher Sanchez and then hit a single off Tyler Phillips. Here's the thing. It was a weak grounder to the shortstop off Sanchez, 80 miles an hour. And then even softer contact in the 70s on a pop-up to third baseman Tyler Phillips. Okay. Tyler Phillips also debuted in 24 through 36 inches, or 36 inches. He threw 36 inches. He threw 36 innings. So 5-for-5 will do well for your numbers there on a couple of days. Take it as you will. It doesn't mean it's nothing, but there is some, you know what I mean? There is some things there. So Miles says, oh no, Cook is the new Bay. I'd like to hear more about that. I'm not sure why. Bay's never been good at defense and Cook's been fantastic at defense. And Bay's been essentially hurting the team on defense, and especially, well, anywhere he's been played. So Cook walked a few times the other day and a steal. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot about Billy Cook that I like, Jake.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot, but he's hitting, whatever I said. So, not good. Bryce Johnson actually has a 7.3, faced three major league arms today, and went 2-for-3. He's hitting 333 with a 745 OPS at this point. I don't know if there's anything there. I mean, he's a non-roster guy, but just, you know, pointing him out, give him a little nod there.
Yeah.
That's been something. Nick Solak, we've talked about him quite a few times. He's at the top of this. He's got a 7.7 now after today, which is at the top of the outfielders, unless somebody else on that list went up. And he walked today, but he's at a 389, with a 429 on base, 1.151 OPS for Nick Solak. It's not nothing. Once again, anybody, it's going to be tough to crack right now. But this is a guy who, with an opt-out, he's probably not going to be in Indy if he continues this. Somebody's, you know, he's going to opt out.
Somebody's going to pick him up, yeah.
He's going to opt out and do something. So
he'll play for the White Sox.
Him and he would, right? That's the big thing. All right, sorry, Miles again, kidding. Reference to a speedy guy not hitting well. Perfect. Okay, that's what I was looking for, was like where that came from. Okay, certainly certainly there. I like Billy Cook's game. I think there's more to it. I hope to see it the rest of the way in spring. Who else we got? O'Neal Cruz, 7.5, and it's been a mixed bag. He has hit the ball hard, but it's not, you know, you look at the stat line, it doesn't look good, right? 176, more to see.
Yeah.
More to see. And this guy's working hard on the outfield right now. That's a big thing. Jack's at the same thing, 7.5. And I mean, 22 plate appearances, Jake, 350, 409, 1.009 OPS. It's been good. Couple doubles, home run. There was a nice play not too long ago against him. There was another one that probably should have been a single, ended up a double, something like that. Little pad on the double there to get that OPS over 1,000. But yeah, it's been a really good spring for Jack. There's been a lot of things that you like to see. Had a really good at bat in the other day. I think I mentioned something. Was it a sac fly? It ended up being a sac fly, but he fouled off two pitches after he got to two strikes. He worked the count a little bit. And just, you know, refused to just strike out, swinging the bat. Two foul balls, then a sac fly. He didn't take anything close, you know what I mean? There was one that I thought was probably a ball up, still fouled it off. And so those are the kind of things from Jack that you want to see. He's played pretty solid defense. So obviously in LeCom and most places in Florida, don't watch routes on just routine fly balls. They're going to drift because the wind there and the outfield and the sun, like, it's really difficult. We always see guys look so bad. So Steel City DW says, I'm seeing good plate plus discipline from Jack. That's when we know he's going well. That's when we know he's going well. So, all right. Anybody else out there? Palacio, 7.1. Brian Reynolds, 7.2. Reynolds, more results than Palacios there. And once again, you have to call it out. You're seeing hard contact from some of these guys. Things like that. Tommy Pham got on the RBI board. I mean, we have to bring him up. He's at a 7.6 right now. He's hitting 200. Finally got an extra base hit. And then came out of the game with a sore hip. So, there you go. I think that's really it that I see there, right? Is that everybody that we've really talked about hitting-wise? Is there anybody I left out? Cheryl asks, is Jack good on defense? Yes. He's in left and right field, above average. In center field, slightly below average. Overall, he's an average fielder. He's got a pretty good arm that he doesn't really show off all that much. Like, if there's not a play, he kind of just lobs it in.
Yeah.
But he's thrown out his fair amount of people. But it's essentially average at the end of the day. But left and right field, his numbers have been slightly above average. So nothing wild. Oh, Key Brian Hayes. Billy says Key Brian Hayes.
Good call.
7.7. So he's obviously a starter, been in a lot early, but he's played a lot. One of the things about some of the veterans is they only play the home games, and sometimes you don't get the best pitchers at home. You know what I mean? And so there is something to that. But 7.7, 250, 333, not been a lot of extra base hits. He's got four singles. To be frank, I'm okay with that. 333 on base.
Stay healthy.
Stay healthy. If you can get that 333 to 340, I don't care if they're all singles. You're on base. Right. You know what I mean? Yeah. If you can, because he's not going to walk as much. If you can be around 340, I don't care what your batting average is. If you can be at 340 on base, I think you're doing your job and you're staying healthy because we need you on the field. Yep. Actually, I don't know. There is a portion of me that says, except we just have Triolo there. Triolo can hit better. He's also Gold Glove caliber. Obviously, I still think Key Brian's the best fielder in the game.
Yeah.
At any position. I'm convinced.
And I'll take Key Brian Hayes over Jared Triolo any day at the plate.
Well, so long as he's doing better.
So long as he's healthy.
Okay. so long as he's doing better. I am not going to.
I think Key Brian Hayes is going to give you a better at bat 9 times out of 10 than Jared Triolo. I have hopes that he can get it done.
Okay.
I don't have hopes that Triolo can get it done ever. Yeah. When he gets it done, I'm surprised.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. By the way, Jared Triolo on base, 304. He's walked once. So anyway, just, you know, reminding everybody. All right. You want to get into pitching? Let me see if there's anybody else that I had. Cause I did write some guys down. I think that's all I wrote down there. All right, let's go into pitching. I did not do updates. I did not do updates on opponent or opposition quality because I'm not looking up every single hitter that these guys face. They sent 35 guys to the plate today. I'm not looking them all up. So it is what it is. And these ones are a little quicker to get through. We'll keep moving here. I know we're at 10.
Real quick. No, it's not going to limit his power even more. Bryce Harper has a two-handed swing.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And it is a good question, though. Key's always had a one-handed finish, and the reason he's going to two-handed finish is to limit the torque. So I think the power will go down anyway. But you got to remember that a healthy Key Brian Hayes has a possibility to hit 20 homers. And so I think you're probably just still looking at a Key Brian Hayes that's going to hit you 10 to 12. You know what I mean? I think in the end, if he gets good with the two-handed, I think you're in the end probably getting 10 to 12 homers if he's healthy and going well. You're not getting any more than that. Specifically because they play 81 games at PNC Park. Although he hits backside, so
right.
It is what it is. All right, so let's take a look. I mean, we already talked Heaney, 7.6 opposition quality in his first game. I don't know what it was today, but essentially it's just kind of like, I don't know. Pitching to me, you're going to have to chime in if you have opinions on some of this stuff because I just don't know. Mike Burrows is at an 8.6, okay? That's high. ERA, 7.20, once again. I just don't know. I'm more interested in looking at, he's got a 1.4 whip. So that's not what you want to see. He also had a rough first inning. Right. He's got time to clean it up. You're talking about guys with 5 innings. Everybody's got less than 10 innings.
Yeah.
So numbers will be inflated or really low. And I mean, if a guy's really low and he gives up 2 runs tomorrow, his numbers will be inflated. So just kind of how
I'll
it works.
Be honest. The thing I go on with pitchers is how they're saying they feel.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you can really go by.
Yeah, it's a great point.
All these stats are so skewed for those limited amount of innings.
Pitchers are way hard because of the innings and everything. They're way harder to do this type of thing. Yeah. But let's see if there's any takeaways from it. Paul Skeens, 8.2. That's really great, right? Or not really great. That's really high for a lot of this. That goes 10.5 strikeouts per nine. Jared Jones, 7.4, little less middle of the ground. K's per nine goes up to 15.3, right? So you're going to, you know what I mean? The number goes down of the quality of batters he's facing. The strikeouts are going to go up. Mitch Keller, only a 7.2. And it's been, I mean, he's given up 1 run. So what you would expect to see from a guy who is facing mostly guys like that. Bailey Falter, 8.0, and it's been pretty good for him. Strikeouts per nine, is it 13.5 right now? He is walking some more guys, and he's actually, like, he's got a 300 batting average against, or batting average on balls in play. He's got a 176 batting average against because of the strikeouts, right? My bad. So anyway, it's only been 4.2 innings, so it's good, but we'll see.
Yeah.
And then let's see. Now we're basically going into relievers. Oh, there's some guys that are listed under relievers that are starters. So let me touch on them. I mean, we've already sent Bubba Chandler down. We had a 19.29 ERA and only 2 1/3 innings. Okay. And it was a 7.5. What do you take away from 2 1/3 innings? Let's move on. There was one more I was going to look at. Harrington was at a 7.7. He gave up a run in 3. It's pretty much all the starters that really were out there. Am I right? Who am I missing?
Ashcraft,
6.7. I mean, he only went 1 2/3, and he's kind of been shut down, right? I mean, he hasn't been throwing. So we'll see there. Am I right about that? I mean, at least he hasn't thrown here in games.
Right.
Hunter Barco threw a couple innings, 7.5 opposition quality. So like I said, you can fly through pitchers because of what they are. Dennis Santana, I went to update his opponent quality, and essentially it ended up the same. And I had to look up guys who spent time in two different levels. And I was like, I'm not doing this again. Not doing it again. All right. So there was a couple of these guys, though, that were asked about. A couple guys asked about Eddie Yean. This is a big one. So when you look at it, Eddie Yean's opposition quality, 6.3. So we're talking somewhere between high A and double A for his average guys faced. And he hasn't given up a run yet, and it's been five innings. Strikeouts per nine, sitting at 7.2. I've liked what I've seen, but we are talking about 19 hitters, somewhere around the range of high A and double A quality. Okay. Yeah. On average. One guy that is really low that I'll bring up while I'm looking for some of the other ones, Kyle Nicholas, only 6.1. So he's been absolutely dominant, right? But, you know, he hasn't really faced a lot of guys yet. And I think a lot of this is just, hey, we've got guys to get in, and by the time he gets in, he's pitched at home. By the time he gets into a game, they're going to have to go send him out there like right after a starter here soon. He's going to have to start seeing some higher quality batters because if he's feeling great and they love his pitches, who cares? But if he's not and he's getting results, they probably need to say, hey, here's what's going to happen to the pitches if you don't straighten them out. You know what I mean? So absolutely, like there's a lot there to go off of. Cheryl says her husband wonders how Bednar rates on this scale so far. So Bednar is at a 7.7. That's on the higher end of these things. He's facing a lot of major league hitters. It's been four innings. It's been really good for Bednar. I think they like a lot of what they're seeing, right? 11.3 Ks per nine. And like I said, for the most part in those four games, he's faced some higher level guys, struck out five of them of 17. So, and hasn't walked. He walked one. Bednar looks good. we have to keep saying this because I know we're all concerned. He looks good. And this kind of backs that up. Ryder Ryan has looked good in his three innings, and they're 7.6. So he's facing some good hitters. Colin Holderman, same thing, 7.3, but like he's been good. So there's nothing really to even, he's given up a few more hits than you would like, but for the most part, what we say, feel, things like that, he's looked pretty good too. I think that's it, man. Johan Ramirez has thrown a lot against 5.0. Yeah, he's just a guy because we're familiar with him, but 5.9. Yeah. And we're talking about single A guys. So, I mean, and he had like a bad outing, but he's been all right. But like, he's literally just facing guys without a name on their jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Lefties, so they break them up, righties and lefties. So if you wonder why we haven't said Tim Mesa and Joey Wentz and all them, Joey Wentz is 6.3. So it's been good results, but a 6.3. Right. So we're talking about high A, double A kind of guys, somewhere in there. Ryan Barucki, 6.9. Same sort of thing, closer to double A. 6.9 for him, five innings, and hasn't given up a run yet, an earned run. Tim Mesa is a 7.1, and he had a bad outing, right? He's got three runs against him. Otherwise, 4.7 Ks per nine, or I'm sorry, 14.7 Ks per nine for him. And with an opposition quality of 7.1, like that's not too bad. It just depends. Did the major leaguers get hits off of him and the minor leaguers not? Well, then, you know, that's what you can do. And then Caleb Ferguson, a 7.9. He's mostly faced higher end guys with a few others sprinkled in there. But he's had a mixed bag of success, walks and hits and a homer. And Caleb Ferguson right now, I think if you're asking me if the stretch out thing is still being talked about, I think I'm I'm ready to kind of pull back on that a little bit. And maybe this is how you do it. I noticed his fastball sinker was around just under 94, was his highest. His second inning, barely over 93. His third inning, didn't get it to 93. Last year, he was about the same. In 23, his fastball was up closer to 96. But in 24, he added the sinker, and it's really been around 94. So I don't see a dip in velocity that's anything concerning. It just looks like he's a one-inning guy. That's what it looks like to me. He's a one-inning guy, and I'm just not worried about it, right?
Yeah.
Let's just put him in the bullpen and scratch the stretch-out thing. He threw 47 pitches today, and by the time he went out, he wasn't good anymore. So let's keep him under 20, and let's move on with our lives, and you got a good pitcher on your hands.
Yeah.
That's my opinion. But, yeah, I don't know, man. I would say let's clean it up here and wrap it up. I mean, we are past our time, but this is one of those things where when you're looking at numbers, a lot of times you can wring it out a little bit longer. I would love to see StatCast get a hold of this data, this opposition quality thing, because I'd like to look it up to say, like, how did he do against guys that are above an 8? Let me just look at only those at-bats, right? You can't do that right now. You just see the overall number. I mean, I could build out the data, but I need them to get a hold of it. I need that to be clear on Baseball Reference. Or what about if you could calculate a range? You look at a minor leagues, look at the minor league stats on Baseball Reference, right? Mm-hmm. And you look at like Tamar Johnson was in AA last year, and I thought I had his thing up, but it looks like I can pull it up real quick. You look at Tamar Johnson, who last year in AA was 20 years old, and he's a minus 3.7 age difference, right? And what they do is they take the average age of everybody in that league this year, and where's he fall? He's almost 4 years younger than the average player in AA. I'd like to see him do something with this, with the opponent quality. Let's take what your opponent or your quality is, right? If you spent a whole year, let me see, I got here. This is the big difference I want to show. I told you we'd come back to Gorski, okay? And I hate picking on him like this, but I'm coming back to Gorski.
Yeah.
Gorski was in AAA all year last year, which means he was an 8. And right now, he's a 6.6, which means he's got a op qual diff, nerd out here, of negative 1.4, which means he's facing pitchers that are under the level he was at. He should be hitting well.
Right.
So, you know, when you think of it that way, like that, I kind of wish
then that if you can get into it and dig into like StatCast, get a hold of it and say, okay, so let's see what he hit against 10s. See what he hit against 8s.
Right.
Just to see if he did get 3 at bats and, you know, did whatever he did against those 3 at bats. Like what did he do in those? And what did he do against the 5s that brought that average down to a 6?
Right. And is he, who's his, we talked about who his home runs were off of, right? Mm-hmm. So we're already there. We already get it.
But you got to dig to find
every major league player is going to be in the negatives here. That's the thing about the difference, you know what I mean? Because they're at a 10.
Yeah.
The highest opposition quality this spring for a hitter is 9.2. And the two guys with a 9.2 have one plate appearance. To go to a 9.1, the guy has three. Okay, so you get the point. The highest with any balk is Ty France with an 8.6. So just to kind of bring that home, like 8.6 of guys that actually get at bats is the highest you're going to get in spring training. So these guys like Endy with an 8.1, like he's facing good pitching.
Yeah.
He's facing good pitching.
Yeah, I think they need to expand upon the op qual and just do like, if you're going to have the data there, let's have more data. Let's have even dig deeper. Let's make the thing to like 25 and add more stuff in there. Like guys with 15 years are 25s. Guys with 10 to 15 years are this number. And then you even get like the veteran, you're facing veterans.
Yeah.
You're not even just facing a second year guy.
You spent
all year last year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think there's like the only risk in all of this is we're talking about mystical spring training numbers in a way.
Yeah.
Because you also could face a 10 today who threw you five changeups in a row because he's trying to get a feel for it. He laid one in the middle and you've got a home run off a 10. You know what I mean? And so like you're feeling pretty good right now if you dig too deep. So there is some of that that's like, as much as I want to know more, there is just a little bit of, hey, maybe it's good that the teams and the coaches know a little more than we do.
It's fair.
Maybe it's good. So this is a good point by Miles here. He says it's numbers to go with the eye test. And it is. It's that to me is the biggest thing. Like I said, you could be getting out and you could be getting out hitting the ball hard. The team is going to say, well, I don't care about the result. You got the one thing that's important. And I hate saying my favorite line of the episode, an hour and 15 minutes into the show. But spring training is and always will be process over results all the time. Or if you want to be like, if you think, oh, you should make it sound better, then make it two P's. Process over performance. I don't know. It you're going to want to see how it's going.
Yeah.
And that's what the player, that's what the teams are evaluating on who's winning these jobs. But stats are stats for a reason, man. We absolutely can use all of this to say, all right, it hasn't felt good. How's it been? Or let's talk about David Bednar, because you do ask the question. Yeah, but who's he facing? Because I've seen a couple of them, but he's doing all right. He's not Kyle Nicklaus. Which doesn't mean Kyle Nicklaus is not doing good, right? Which doesn't mean Kyle Nicklaus is not doing good. He's given up no runs, but he's facing high A players, double A players. Yeah, somewhere in there. So like, yeah, it's there. I love this stuff. I love digging into it, but we just have to always remember that spring training stats do not matter. And that's why we look at, I like to say that it's not the result-based stats, but the process-based stats. Let's look at his exit velos. Let's look at what he's done, like whether he's striking out, whether there's a guy in scoring position, is he shortening up and hitting the ball in play? Is he walking? Is he chasing? Is he, you know what I'm saying? Like those are whether he was safe or he was out, was the process good? Did he hit the ball hard?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You talked about an at bat with Henry Davis that you liked. I talk about one with Jack Suwinski that I liked. Those are the kind of things that are going to stick with us a little bit more. The learning experiences of Cruz in the outfield, just different stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I like spring training for what it is. I'm getting close to being ready for the season now. I want the games to be televised.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah, no, a lot of fun tonight. And, I probably have more to say about this, and I'd love to talk about Steel City DW's comment about Harrington, because when I see Harrington, I want to talk about it. But we don't have time for that, so I'm not going to, but I'm going to share it on here. If you're not watching on YouTube, it's there on the screen right now. You could check it out on YouTube. If you listen on anything else, man, hit like, comment, all that stuff. It definitely helps us out. Let's go, Bucks.
Go, Bucks.
Thanks for listening to my dad and Uncle Jake on the Bridge to Bucktober podcast. Follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Bridge2Bucktober. Don't forget to subscribe so you know when new episodes are released. Clear the deck, cannonball coming, and let's go Bucks!